Well, what's up, y'all? How's everyone doing tonight? Okay, well, there goes that. I dropped everything, bro. You guys doing good? Man, worship was so good. Oh, my goodness. I'll grab it. It's okay. Thank you so much. Ooh, man. How many of you guys know that church is not about us? Church is about him. Ah, we bless you tonight, Jesus. We honor your presence tonight, God. Tonight we say that it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your truth, Jesus. We thank you, God, for what you want to speak to us tonight. So, Jesus, we open up our hearts, God, to receive everything that you have for us tonight. God, we don't want to leave this room missing one single thing, God, that you want to say to us and that you want to speak to us, Jesus. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, 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 man. Oh, man. Okay, I need to get gathered together here so I can preach to you guys. So last week we started a new series called Kingdom Be Like. Somebody say kingdom. Somebody say be like. Somebody say kingdom. Somebody say be like. Come on, a quiet church is a? A quiet church is a? Somebody say kingdom. Somebody say be like. All right, and so last week we started talking about this subject that Jesus was highly passionate about, the kingdom of God. You know, and if you were here last week, we said that you know that a person is really passionate about something because it's usually what they talk the most about, right? Right? Like example, okay, my man Rico here. Okay, you go on this man's Instagram feed, you're gonna see story after story after story after story after story, and they're all gonna be really lame fishing memes. Okay? They're gonna be really bad fishing memes, you know? And so I can look at his story, what he posts, what he talks about, and I can say, man, Rico is passionate about fishing. How many of you guys think fishing is like the most boring thing ever, like me? I think fishing is like super boring. I'm sorry. So how many of you guys love fishing? A few fish lovers in here. Oh, okay. I am not like, I don't like to fish. I don't like to eat fish. I just don't know what it is. But man, but when you look in the Bible, you find out, listen, if Jesus had an Instagram, okay, like real talk, every other story feed would be about the kingdom of God. He'd be like, the kingdom of heaven be like. Man, like the kingdom of God is like. You know, like when you look in the Bible, it's really interesting. So like hell's a really big subject, right? Like people have all these different ideas about what Jesus was passionate about. But did you know that Jesus only talked about hell 12 times? Out of this whole entire book, or out of this whole entire Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, out of those four Gospels, we only see Jesus mention hell 12 times. You know, he only mentions money, right? Because money is a pretty big issue, you know? He only mentions money 11 times. He only mentions adultery and lust and things of a sexual nature only 9 times. But do you want to know how many times that you'll either find the phrase kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? 85 times. 85 times. Now, even when you look in the Bible, Jesus only did, not he didn't only do, the only miracles that we have recorded are 37 miracles. But he talked about the kingdom 85 times. See, Jesus was highly passionate about this subject called kingdom. You know, in fact, in Luke 4:43, Jesus said this. He said, but he replied, I must, somebody say must, somebody say must, preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns. Listen to this too, because that is why I was sent. Jesus just summed up his whole mission statement right here is, listen, the whole reason why I came is because I got to tell people about this thing called the kingdom. Right now, listen, I don't know about you, but when I think of kingdom, I think of pictures like this. Can we go ahead and flash some pictures up here, right? Like, I think of castles, right? Like, my mind goes medieval times, you know, kingdoms and castles, right? Empires. Let's go to the next picture. You know, like, isn't that cool? It's all gold, man. Like I think of empires. I mean, I think of dynasties when I think of kingdoms. You know, and I think this is so important to get this picture of, because listen, did you know that God has a kingdom? Like, catch this, please. God has a kingdom. Like, a real kingdom. It's not a concept. It's not a figment of our imaginations. It's a real kingdom. See, the word kingdom, it means this. It means royal power. It means kingship. It means the power or right to govern and control and rule. It means king's domain, an area in which a king rules, governs, and controls. See, last week we gave four crucial points and said, man, if you really want to get the kingdom, if you really want to understand this thing that Jesus is talking about, there's four things that we have to walk away with. Number one is this, is that this kingdom has a king. Right? Every kingdom has a king. Right? Right? Is that, listen, if I were to visit the state of Kentucky, who's the president of Kentucky? Donald Trump is the president of Kentucky. Because it's within the United States boundary line, right? If I were to go to Hawaii, who's the president of Hawaii? Right? Why? Because he is the ruling presidential person, right, over America. I'm so not a political person at all. And I don't even know the right terms to use here. Okay? But listen, we said that this king, that this kingdom has a king, right? And Jesus just isn't any king. The Bible calls him the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. It says that one day, I mean, that literally Jesus is going to come to earth and he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth and that he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. I don't want to get too deep for you guys here. But listen, he's a real king, you guys. And one day, man, he's going to, every kingdom in this world, every kingdom in this earth is going to submit to his ruler, his rulership and his kingship. Number two was this. We said, man, his kingdom is a real place. So this kingdom, it has a king. His name is Jesus. This kingdom is a real place. It's called heaven. Listen, just like if you were to go to a different country, right? Like, my wife is from Ethiopia. We said this last week. And did you know in Ethiopia, it is super normal to see two guys walking down the street holding hands? And there's nothing homosexual about it at all. It's just a sign of friendship. Is that when you go to different places, different cultures, guess what? There's a different way of life. A completely different way of doing things. Right? I love it. Ms. Nancy, you are from El Salvador. I was way off, okay? In my head, I was like way off, right? You go to El Salvador, right? Way different culture, way different customs, right? So guess what, guys? This culture called the kingdom of heaven, guess what? It looks a lot different than the way that our world looks and runs. And it's so vital, man, that we get that. Number three was this, is that when I got saved, I became a part of this kingdom. Catch this, please. When I got saved, I became a part of this kingdom. Number four is this. I threw an extra one in here. Is that one day this kingdom will literally invade earth. And we read last week about this city called the New Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven and it's literally going to invade earth, right? Where Jesus is going to sit on the throne, man, and it's going to be awesome. Number five is this, is that until then, I'm called to carry the same mission as the king. I need to establish heaven on earth. Is that it is my job as a believer, man, to extend the rule and the kingship of Jesus on the earth in any realm. Maybe that's a physical place like your home. Maybe that's a physical place like your school. Maybe that's a physical place like a political arena. I mean, some of you guys are called to politics. Listen, some of you guys are called to food. Did you know you're called to bring the kingdom of heaven into food? Did you know that's possible? Yeah. My man's a chef right here, right? Listen, some of you guys are called, men to be senators and congressmen. Did you know you're called to bring the kingdom of heaven into that arena too? Some of you guys are called to be a manager at Walmart, and it's amazing. Okay? Did you know you're called to bring the kingdom of heaven into Walmart? Right? Listen, heaven wants to invade earth in every single arena and in every single aspect. And it's waiting on you. Because Jesus said this. He said, listen, till I come back, right? Till my second coming, you are called to occupy till I come. I mean, I could get in like so deep into this, but I'm going to move on here, right? And so how many of you guys know that if I'm called to establish the kingdom of heaven, then I need to know what it's like and how it operates. Because we just said, man, that this kingdom is different than the way that everything around me runs. Like this kingdom, man, it's so upside down and it's so backward. See, like usually in the world, when someone wrongs you, you say, man, I'm going to get you back. In this kingdom, the way that it operates, it says, man, if someone wrongs you, you know what you do? You pray for them instead. You bless them instead. See, it operates completely different than the way that we're used to things running. Right? And so, man, if I'm going to really establish this kingdom on the earth, then I need to know how it runs and how it operates, right? And Jesus knew that. And so all throughout the Gospels, you see Jesus using this phrase, man, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And so we're going to end this series where we're going to hit a bunch of these parables that Jesus tells, explaining to us what the kingdom is actually like. And so what I want to start out tonight with is actually want to start out with a competition. Okay? Does anybody love Chipotle? Okay? I need some Chipotle lovers. Give me 3 Chipotle lovers up front. All right, we got our 3. We got our 3. Okay, now we have a very odd game. Hey, Bree, if you can come and hand out each one of these to each person, I'm going to come over here real quick. All right, so if you can hand each person a pink slip of paper there. This is for later. All right, so we're going to do a competition, all right? Listen, the person who has the most oily skin is going to win a $20 gift card to Chick-fil-A. All right, so you know you guys are supposed to be like 6 feet apart and everything, or whatever. So this is what I need you guys to do for me, okay? I need you guys to take it, and I need you to wipe your forehead. Wipe your forehead. And we're going to see, and Bree, you're going to be our judge to see who has the most oily skin, okay? Who's going to be the oily skin winner? You guys might have to like wipe it twice, Rico. That's pretty thick, bro. Dude, that's a lot of oil, bro. Uh-oh. Who got it? Who got it, Bree? All right, somebody give Rico the hand for having the most oily skin in the room. This is all going to make sense in a second. Here you go, Rico. Enjoy Chipotle, man. All right, you guys can take a seat. Now, listen, if you have your Bibles for me, I need you to go to Matthew 25, and that example is going to make sense here in a second about why I would give somebody a gift card for having oily skin, because that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, right? So the disciples, in Matthew 24, the disciples are walking out of the temple. Okay, this temple is made of gold, it's beautiful, it's huge, and they're like marveling at it, and they look at Jesus, and they go, Jesus, isn't this temple so amazing? And Jesus looks at them and says, you know, one day, there won't even be a brick left on top of another brick at this temple. Now, this is the holiest site in the world. This is a big deal. This is like a jaw-dropping thing. This would be like if you walked out of the White House with Jesus, right? And you're like, dude, Jesus, wasn't the Oval Office crazy? And Jesus was like, did you know one day there's not going to be a single brick on top of another brick in this building? It's all going to be leveled and destroyed. Right? So these, like, it caught these disciples' attention. And they were like, what? Hold on, Jesus. I said, yo, like, when's this going to happen? Like, is it going to happen in my lifetime? Like, do I need to pack up my family and move? You know what I mean? Like, give a brother some hints here. You know, and so Jesus begins telling them, man, about his second coming. And Jesus gives three parables to describe the nature of what will happen when the kingdom of God literally comes and gets established on the earth, right? And then one of them is this parable right here. And so he says this. He says, "In the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil." Somebody say oil. Come on, somebody say oil for their lamps. "But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by a shout saying, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come prepared, come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.'" Listen, you can't ask Rico for his oil on his forehead, okay? Verse 14. Oh, wait, is that it? Oh, here it is. But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back. He said, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return.'" See, the question that's been striking me in this passage that tonight I want to bring to you is, how much oil is in your lamp? How much oil is in your lamp? See, in this parable, actually in every parable in this, Jesus gives really kind of 3 hints about his return. Is that number 1, it's going to take longer than what you think it's going to take. Number 2 is that when the end times come, is that, man, listen, it's going to happen suddenly. Is that the return of Jesus is going to happen suddenly. And number 3 is this, is that you won't have time to prepare for it. You won't have time to prepare for it. So Jesus calls us to live in such a way, man, that we're always ready. We're always ready. Listen, I think the best way I can describe this to you is a poor example, but the best way I can describe this to you is, how many of you guys know that when your mom leaves and she asks you to do something around the house, right, she says, "Listen, do the dishes," right? Like, clean the house, vacuum the floors, right? And you do this. You say, "I'll get to it right before she comes home." Big mistake, right? And then, right, and you kind of have an estimated time of when you think your mom is going to arrive home, okay? And all of a sudden, mama pulls up in the driveway an hour early. And what do? Right? And you start running, man. You start throwing stuff in closets. Like, you don't even wash the dishes. You just throw them up in the cabinet, hoping she knows that they're not dirty. You freak out, right? Because you know there's a consequence if what she asked isn't done. And so you know, is that, man, you got to be ready, right? Like, it's smart of you to do it right when she leaves, not just right before she gets home. Listen, that's free advice for you, okay? I just saved you guys so much misery and anxiety, okay? Do it right when she leaves. But listen, that's what Jesus is saying here, okay? He's like, listen, you got to live ready for my return. And so in this parable, he compares these 2 sets of virgins. You have the 5 wise virgins and you have the 5 foolish ones. And what's amazing about this parable is that there's actually very little that separates them. Like, when you read it, you find out is that, man, like, they both had lamps, right? Like, the wise had lamps, the foolish had lamps. You know, listen, you could say this, is that they both were saved. They both were saved. Is that they both had fires burning in their lamps at first. You know, in the Bible, fire usually represents passion and a hunger for the things of God. Like, and so listen, in this parable, guess what? Both people, both sets of groups, man, they were passionate and they were hungry at first, man. And they had a fire at first and they were saved at first. Not only did they both have lamps and they both had fires going at first, but man, they both came out to meet the bridegroom. It wasn't like one was like, "Yeah, we'll go meet him later." No, they both went out to meet him.
Like they both went out to go see him. Like they were both expectant and they were both excited to see the bridegroom. Listen, they even both fell asleep. They all became drowsy and they fell asleep. But the one thing that the Bible says that separated the wise from the foolish was the amount of oil that they took. See, the Bible says is that the wise virgins took extra oil. Imagine guys like fried chicken. This just reminds me of frying some chicken. That has nothing to do with this message. I just had to say it. I had to get it off my brain. But listen, they took extra oil. Right? Is it, man, they said, listen, what if the king doesn't come right away? What if he's delayed? You know, let's take a little bit of extra oil so that we're prepared. So you have the wise over here, but the foolish virgins, what did they do? Is that they took just enough oil for the moment. Just enough oil meant to last them in that moment right there. And so when the bridegroom was delayed, right, because Jesus tells us in this parable, guess what? It's going to take longer than what you think. It's going to take longer than what you think. And friend, if this is you with your little Crisco bottle, a pure vegetable olive oil, or of oil, you're in danger. Listen, you don't want this to be you. Because the Bible says, because they took just enough for the moment that when the bridegroom was delayed, that they ran out of oil. So me and you, we can be one of two people in this parable. We can be those who have a lot of oil or those who have a little oil. Who are you? Listen, how much oil is in your lamp? See, your lamp tonight, it represents your relationship with God. And the oil that's in your lamp represents intimacy with the Holy Spirit in Jesus. Catch that tonight, please. Your lamp, it represents your relationship with God. And the oil in your lamp, it represents intimacy. So once again, how much oil is in your lamp? Do you have a little intimacy or do you have a lot of intimacy? Come on, like, am I somebody who just relies on a word on Sunday and on Wednesday to feed me and to feed my relationship with Jesus? Because listen, that's just a little bit of intimacy. That's the very surface level of intimacy. Listen, man, or am I somebody, man, who knows the power of the secret place? Man, who knows how to get along with God and to be with him and to hear his voice and to get in his presence? Am I somebody who prioritizes his presence? Listen, how much oil is in your lamp tonight, friend? How much oil is in your lamp? Is anybody hearing me? See, little oil equals little intimacy. Little oil equals little intimacy. See, and what's amazing, so in the Old Testament or in the times that they were living in, see, oil was the fuel for a lamp. Is that oil was a fuel for a fire, right? It says they didn't have electricity, and so they would use fire in their lamps, and oil is what fed the fire. And so listen, when you have little oil and your oil runs dry, guess what that means? It means your fire runs dry. You know, I said this last week, but in the Moravian community, and I know you guys probably have no clue who that is, and that's okay, but it was this wild group of people who were passionately in love with Jesus. So much so, I mean, that they would sell themselves into slavery so that they could preach the gospel to the slaves. And they said the Lamb of God must receive the reward of his sufferings. Crazy. And in their community, they had this question that they would always go around and ask each other. And they had to answer it honestly. They would go around and ask each other. They would say, are you burning? Are you burning for God? Where's your passion at for God? Come on, are you burning for God? And if the honest answer was no, they said, you know what you need to go and do. Come on, you need to go get oil for your lamp. You need to go get in the place of intimacy with Jesus. Come on, like you need to go get in prayer. You need to go get in worship. Man, you need to go get in your word. It is that you need to have that face-to-face encounter with him. is that you got to have oil for your lamp. Because listen, friend, this will not last you. Are you guys hearing me tonight? Listen, I think that many times that our oil runs dry, at least let me say this, what I found in my life is that my oil runs dry because, you know, I've ended up placing other things before God. Like, I mean, I've just settled it in my heart, you guys, that I want a lifestyle that leads to oil. Like, listen, I love Netflix, okay? Has anybody else been guilty of binge-watching a show before? Or am I the only one, right? Like, you finish 8 seasons in, like, 2 weeks, and you're like, oh, my God, how did that just happen? I want to do it again, you know, right? And like, listen, I love binge-watching the Netflix, but I have to ask myself, man, does that lead to oil? Like, I love sports. Okay, I'm an avid tennis player. I still train to get better. I mean, I still compete in tennis. Oh, okay, next year I'm going to be ranked number one in the state in the name of Jesus. Come on, baby. You gotta believe. You got to say it. But listen, I'm a far away from it too. But it's okay. Listen, man. Listen, like, so, like, I love sports, okay? But I have to ask myself, man, does me playing 4 hours of that sport a day and training 4 hours of that sport a day lead to oil? Answer is no. Listen, I love video games. Okay? I get the dub on COD all the time. See me in Warzone, baby. Let's go. I'm horrible. But listen, like, does it lead to oil? Listen, I'm not saying this. Like, we preach this and we think, like, man, oh, I can't play sports. Like, oh, man, like, I can't, like, have fun. Like, oh, man, like, I can't play video games or watch Netflix. I need to spend my life in prayer reading my Bible because if not, then I won't have any oil. And, oh, God, that's not what I'm saying, okay? What I'm saying is this, is that, listen, learn how to put first things first. Listen, if I can spend 4 hours playing a video game, if I can spend 6 hours on Instagram and on TikTok and on my social media, but man, it's hard for me to read my Bible for 5 minutes. My friend, you might be over here. Like, if I can get on Netflix and I can binge watch a show for 7 hours, but man, I come into service on a Wednesday night and it's hard for me to worship for just 30 minutes, then man, I might be over here. Is that, listen, maybe, just maybe, I'm prioritizing the wrong thing. And because I'm prioritizing the wrong thing, is that, man, I have little oil. See, and I'm not living ready for him to come. See, friend, how much oil is actually in your lamp? How much are you prioritizing intimacy with Jesus? Does that make sense? Come on, somebody turn to your neighbor and yell, get oil. Come on, say, get oil. See, I have to ask myself, this is a great question. Is what I'm giving my time and devotion to oil for my lamp? If you're taking notes, write that down because that's really good. See, at the end of the day, Jesus in this parable, he's warning us to prioritize intimacy with him above all else. To prioritize intimacy with him above all else. See, and what I find so interesting, guys, about this parable is that when everyone was awoken, you know, they were all asleep, they were all drowsy, and they hear someone shout, the bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming. Everybody, you know, they wakes out, they dig the boogers out of their eyes, right? They yarn like, oh my gosh, you know, like, we got to get ready. The five foolish virgins realize we don't have enough oil. And so they look at the five wise virgins, and they say, can we borrow some? And what did the five wise virgins say to the five foolish? They said, there's not enough for all of us. See, you can't borrow somebody else's intimacy with Jesus. You can't do it, friend. You can't do it. Listen, I wish I could borrow someone else's tennis skills. Okay? It would be really awesome. But no, I can't do it. Listen, you can't borrow somebody else's relationship with Jesus. Did you know that your parents' relationship with Jesus isn't yours?
And what's amazing in this parable to me, and we're wrapping up here, Albert, you can come and play. What's amazing in this parable to me is that the five foolish virgins had to go and try to buy oil. They had to try to go and buy it, which tells me this, is that oil will cost you something. Oil will cost you. Listen, intimacy with Jesus will cost you. See, it's going to cost you some time. Is that you may have to get off social media a little bit quicker. Is that you may have to lay down the Xbox controller. Is that you may have to tell that group of friends, hey guys, I'm sorry, I got something else I got to go and do. Why? Because I'm prioritizing the first thing. See, man, like I said, guys, listen, Jesus is not against sports. He's not against Xbox. He's not against video games. Man, he's not against TikTok and Instagram and all that other stuff like that. Man, I think it's the story between Mary and Martha, right, where Mary comes in and she sits before Jesus' feet and she's hearing his words and Mary gets so flustered and she says, Martha does. She says, Jesus, tell my dead, beat, bum sister to come and help me. And what does Jesus say? Like, Jesus doesn't dog Martha. He just says, Martha. He says, Martha, Martha. Don't you know that Mary has chosen the better thing? And I think the call tonight is for us to begin choosing the better thing. Choosing intimacy with Jesus. It's going to cost you time. And listen, some of you guys, it's going to cost you some relationships. Because some relationships that you're in are costing you intimacy with Jesus. Some of you guys, man, it might cost you sin, a sin habit. Because listen, the number one thing that will get in the way of intimacy with Jesus is sin. And I'm not here to beat you over the head with it, man. I'm just here to tell you that God loves you enough to say, hey, listen, I'm calling you out of that into something greater. So friend, tonight, you know, the reason why I started with this parable is number one, because I believe it's a message for the hour. You know, listen, during COVID, did your relationship with God survive without church? Like, did it survive without church? Did it survive without Wednesday nights? Did it survive without McKinsey leading worship? And did it survive without the amazing worship team that we have? Did it survive without the lights and the haze and the screens? And me and Pastor Sam preaching to you guys. Is that you, listen friend, you have to go and buy oil. You do. And the most practical thing I can say too is this, is that you have to learn how to set a place, set a time, and to show up with God. And say, God, man, listen, maybe it's saying this, you know, I'm going to choose to go to bed by 10 o'clock at night so I can wake up earlier before school and I can spend time with you. It's been, I'm going to spend 30 minutes every single day, Jesus, in your face, in your presence, in your word. And because why? I have to get oil. Is it, man, I want to be the wise virgin. I don't want to be the foolish one with just a little bit of oil in my lamp. Is it, I don't want just enough to last me for the moment. So, man, if you guys could stand up for me. If everyone could close their eyes as we pray tonight. You know, if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus, you don't walk with Jesus. You know, we said earlier that Jesus was a king. Not was, he is a king. Listen, tonight, if you don't know Jesus, Jesus wants to become the king of your life. He wants you to give up control of your life over to him so that he can rule and govern your life with his love and with his grace and with his mercy. Because God is madly in love with you tonight. You know, during worship, I really sense, man, that for somebody in this room, like, you really question if God is real. Like, you really question me, like, maybe you've been dragged to church. You know, like, I really felt it was a church kid. Maybe it's not, but I really felt like it was a church kid where your parents have dragged you to church all of your life. And you've never given control of your life over to Jesus. and you even doubt if he's real. But tonight, man, friend, I want you to know that God loves you so much. And he wants to show you how real he is. But he wants you to give your life over to him. And so, man, if that's you in this place, if you're that person, or if you're somebody that says, man, listen, Pastor Josh, I know that my life isn't right with Jesus right now. Like, I know that I'm not walking with Jesus right now. I mean, like, I know that if Jesus were to show up tomorrow, just like that parable said, man, I would not be ready for him to come because, man, I know where my life is at. And so tonight, if you want to give your life to Jesus, not just say a prayer, not just repeat words after me, but friend, tonight, if you want to give control of your life over to King Jesus and make him the Lord of your life and place your faith in him to save you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hands. One, two, three. Is there anybody in the room? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. Is there anybody else? 10 more seconds. You guys can put your hands down. Thank you so much. Awesome. I want everyone to pray this with me. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving your life for my life. Say, Jesus, right now, I surrender control of my life to you. Come and be King and Lord of my life. Say, forgive me of my sins. Say, wash me clean. I place my faith in you to save me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, if you're in this room and you say, man, I want to have a lifestyle that leads to a lot of oil, not a little oil. And I'm willing to pay that price. Because oil will cost you, right? I'm willing to pay that price. I just feel like it's this moment where we're called to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to be people who have oil in our lamps. So on the count of three, man, that's you. I want you to raise your hand. Come on, if you want a lot of oil in your lamp tonight. One, two, three. Who am I talking to? Come on, if you could lift your hands nice and high for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, I see your hand in the middle. Thank you, I see your hand. Yeah, come on. If we can just say, Jesus, I want to live ready for your return. You say, Jesus, I want to have oil in my lamp. I'll pay the price, whatever it costs me. Come on, maybe for you that's a sin habit. Come on, maybe for you that's relationships. Maybe for you that's your time. And just whatever that is before the Lord, I just want you to dedicate that to Jesus right now. Come on, if it's friends, just say, God, I give you those relationships. Come on, if it's a sin habit, I believe that there's freedom in the room right now for you. Just repent of that sin. Ask forgiveness for that sin. And I believe that the power of God is going to touch you and is going to set you free. Listen, for some of you guys, it's shame. Shame's keeping you from intimacy with Jesus. Come on, give it all to him. Give it all to him. He's not a father who casts shame over you. He's not a father who's pointing his finger at you. He's a father with open arms welcoming you, ready to embrace you tonight. Come on, and for some of you guys, it's time. Come on, the Lord has been pulling on some of you guys' hearts. Come on, saying, listen, I'm calling you to wake up earlier. I'm calling you to give me that 30 minutes. I'm calling you to give me that 10 minutes. I'm calling you to give me that hour for some of you guys. Why? Because you got to have oil in your lamp. So Jesus, whatever it is, because you're King Jesus. Come on, you're King Jesus. And so we give you whatever it is that you're asking for. If it's a sin habit, we give it to you. If it's our time, we give it to you. Jesus, if it's relationships, we give it to you. Come on, if it's a boyfriend, we give it to you. If it's a girlfriend, we give it to you, Jesus. Whatever it is, we give it to you right now. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Dope, guys.